And as you grow in your love for Jesus Christ, you're going to want to live for Him. He's going to give you a heart for people. And as you pray for others for their salvation, God's going to move you and then direct you to share the gospel. And if you're in love with Jesus, you'll talk about Him. And I think one of the greatest needs evangelistically in the church is the church isn't in love with Jesus.
This is On the Move, a podcast about missions, international ministry, and how God is changing lives around the world. I'm your host, Leanne White, and today I'm joined by Jim Halstead, the founder of Go and Tell Ministries. Welcome, Jim.
Leanne, good to be with you. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to have this conversation with you today. So, Jim, you founded Go and Tell Ministries in 2020, is that right?
Yes, it is.
I love the vision of your organization, the body of Christ fully engaged in their walk with Jesus Christ by delighting in God, declaring the gospel, and making disciples. I just love that. So I'd love for you to share with us the story behind Go and Tell. What God did in your life to bring you to the place of starting a nonprofit focused on the Great Commission, focused on that vision statement of fully engaged Christ followers, declaring the gospel.
You know, it's been an interesting journey. Someone said you're an overnight success that took 40 years to get here, and there's a lot of truth to that. I'm actually ordained in three denominations, and back in 2010, the Lord led me to a church in Fort Wayne. It was a small group of people, 15 people. I was teaching special ed at the time, and the Lord led me to pastor that church. Within a year and a half, we grew to 70 through salvations. The denomination eventually asked me, how did you do that? I said, well, we prayed for the lost, we shared the gospel, and people professed faith. And then they said, but how did you do that? And I realized I needed to write up something to equip people to share the gospel, because we've kind of got away from that. And in 2013, I actually wrote the Go Tell Evangelism Workshop to equip people to share the gospel. It's a three-hour workshop I teach. Well, through that, in 2020, I was actually a bivocational pastor steer. I was pastoring a church and teaching special ed and trying to do Go Tell. And I felt the Lord led me after the COVID years to step out in faith and develop Go and Tell ministry as a full-time ministry to equip the church to share the gospel and make disciples. So I spent a year teaching and getting my nonprofit status, getting a board of directors together to equip the church. Because one thing I've realized is people just don't know how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the church today. Christian Post did a study. Two-thirds of Christians have no tool to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The other thing is that people have not been discipled by other people to equip them to do that. And so the vision was to go into the local church, and I have pastored three churches from sizes of 15 to 200 plus, to go into a local church, to equip them to share the gospel, to motivate them with inspiring stories, scripture, and simplicity, to equip them to their church to share the gospel and make disciples. And I started the ministry in 2020. I started traveling full-time in the fall of 21, and it's gone well. We're endorsed by six denominations, and I'm seeing a hunger of people wanting to grow in love with Jesus, wanting to be equipped to share the gospel, and wanting to disciple other people. And so it's been a great blessing and a joyful ministry for me.
That's awesome. So I can sort of relate to the part of your story about the, you know, founding and then having it become your full-time thing a little bit later, because that's kind of our story too, that we incorporated as a nonprofit, but then it took a little while before the Lord really made it clear to us that it was time to do our ministry full-time. And it's sometimes it's challenging, right, to step out in faith. You were bivocational. So I really appreciate the fact that I think sometimes pastors and church leaders, like people on staff at a church, they get a little insulated. They get a little too much into a Christian bubble, and they forget to have relationships outside of the church. But being a bivocational pastor for so many years, you probably had more of an opportunity to kind of see how you could bring Christ into your workforce. So can you just maybe share with us a couple of personal stories of things that you've personally done, ways that you've had the opportunity to share the good news about Jesus with people that God has put in your life?
You know, one of the goals of Go Tell is equip the church to share the gospel. And we do evangelism training, because I feel most people don't know how to share the gospel. But when you say that, I want you to take an evangelism workshop to equip you to share the gospel. Most people think it's going to equip you to go down to the courthouse and talk to people you don't know. That's not our goal. As we talked earlier, the Great Commission is to make disciples by going, and it's literally as you go through life. And the first thing we teach people is you need to begin to pray for the salvation of others, of the people God's placed in your life, your neighbors, your coworkers, your extended family members, and pray on a daily basis for their salvation. And what happens is, of 35, 40 years of ministry, I've realized something. The people who pray for the lost by name are the people who share the gospel. And the people who do not pray for the lost by name never share. Meaning if I would just pray, God, lead people to Fort Wayne to faith, I'm never going to share. But as I pray for my friend Tony and my neighbor Matt, as I pray for my sister, as I pray for other people specifically by name, what I've realized, God does two things to that prayer. One thing is I pray for Tony's salvation. He's going to move in Tony's heart in ways I'll never know. But as I pray for Tony, God gives me his heart for Tony. And I grow in love with the people that I'm praying for, which then leads to sharing the gospel. And it's all about relationships. We use the term evangelism is relational. It's about having relationships first and foremost with Jesus Christ and with people. And as you pray for people, God's going to give you your heart for people. And as you have his heart, you're going to listen. You're going to be involved in their life. As you hear different needs, you're going to pray for that. And eventually you're going to share Jesus. And I've been blessed to see when I was teaching school, the school secretary, the janitor, assistant teacher accept Christ. I've been blessed to seeing my students accept Christ. I've been blessed to seeing my car salesman accept Christ, my dental hygienist accept Christ, my neighbors. And it's all people that I begin to pray for their salvation. I just looked around, who has God placed in my life that I can pray for and get involved with? And as if you would ask that as a Christian, who are three to four people that God's placed in your life that you can pray for daily for their salvation and other needs that come up so they could come to know faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to see God move you to share not only the gospel, but your love and your life with them. And that's how we seek to equip the people to share the gospel. It's first by praying for them. You know, before you talk to your friend about Jesus, you need to talk to Jesus about your friend. And as you do that, you're going to have a heart of Jesus for your friend.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that idea. That's going to stick with me, to talk to Jesus about your friend before you even talk to your friend about Jesus. On the Move is a podcast created by 21C International. We're on a mission to encourage, equip, and empower Christian pastors and church leaders in the majority world by providing free in-person training and print resources. If you want to learn how you can help thousands of pastors receive biblical and pastoral training, stay to the end of the episode to hear our latest ministry updates or visit our website at 21cinternational.org. So we did talk before we started recording today about what you've alluded to, the idea that when Jesus said in the Great Commission, go, really that word could be more accurately translated as you are going, that it's not so much like we need to reach a destination as that we're on a journey. So just talk a little more about that with us. You've already kind of alluded to a few things that could impact us if we have that mentality that evangelism is to go is an as you are going about your life. But talk to us a little more about what that mentality could do to impact a believer as they think about sharing their faith.
You know, as your people are watching this podcast, most people are busy. And if you have kids, time is the greatest resource, maybe more than money in some ways. And so with that, as I was growing up, my kids, I now have three adult kids, they're all married. As a matter of fact, they all support me financially in ministry. As we were growing up, my son was in basketball, my oldest was in youth theater, my youngest was in dance, they were involved in neighborhoods and friends. I began to pray with my kids for their friends and also for their parents. And through those relationships, as I prayed for their salvation, I've been blessed. I've led my daughter's friends to faith in Jesus. I have led my son's players on the basketball team, parents, to faith in Jesus. I began to pray for the people God's placed in my life through my kids, through my relationships, and through that to bloom where you're planted. That's a phrase we use a lot. God wants to bloom where he's planted you, in your relationships, at your workplace, with your extended family. And as you begin to pray for the salvation of others and you hear their needs, financial needs, family needs, health needs, and pray and be involved in people's life, you're going to be able to share the gospel. And I've had so many people tell me, maybe I don't believe in Jesus, but I know you do, and I know you love me by the way I've acted towards them. Our goal is to get people engaged relationally, one, with the people God's placed in their life to bloom where they're planted. And you're not going to talk about Jesus if you are not equipped, but there's a bigger reason you're not going to talk about Jesus. You're not going to talk about Jesus unless you're in love with him. And you've got to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ through scripture, through prayer, being involved in a church. And as you grow in love with Jesus relationally, he's going to give you a love for others he's placed in your life. And then it's naturally just sharing the gospel in word and in deed. And that's what we seek to equip people to do, to share the gospel in word and deed to the people God's placed in your life, that you will bloom where he has planted you.
So one of the things that you do in your ministry is you do a workshop. How does your workshop work for churches that are interested?
Yeah, we have two workshops. You know, our mission statement is to equip the church to share the gospel and make disciples. And all of our material is based on scripture, stories, and simplicity. Again, I was always an evangelist since I've accepted Christ, and I have stories of sharing the gospel, but also it's all scripture-based. But I was a special education teacher, and special education teachers know how to simplify everything. And so what our goal is, I hope to have a church call me in. I travel 40 weekends a year, and I'll come in and do a three-hour evangelism workshop, which will equip the church to pray for the lost and to share the gospel. After that, we have a video series for a small group, Sunday school classes, to actually have application accountability with that. I also just came out with several new books and a new disciple-making disciple workshop to equip you in a three-hour workshop to use a book to disciple another believer. Billy Graham said 80% of people have never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else, and I think that's true. And if that's true, how many people have not discipled another person individually? 95%? We seek to tackle that by through workshops and also through our resources. And our resources are based on scripture, stories, and simplicity to motivate, inspire you, but also to equip you with the stories and simplicity that I can do this. I just need to love Jesus and love others. And so, we come in often. A Go and Tell Ministry weekend includes, I'll teach a three-hour workshop. I'm going to Wisconsin this weekend. I'll teach a three-hour evangelism workshop on a Saturday morning. I'll meet with leadership Saturday night. I'll preach Sunday morning and teach Sunday school. And then I love to preach because then I'm going to inspire people with the scriptural message and stories to hopefully take the video series, which takes the workshop and with application accountability. And we do that not only with evangelism workshop, but we do that also with a discipleship workshop. But also you could just go straight to our website and just use our resources without having me come in. But by having me come in, I was there in Pennsylvania, and I think God has blessed us in such a way that we're able to equip people with inspiring stories that when they leave, they know I can do this and I want to do this for the glory of God.
That's actually how we met, was that you were visiting a church that supports 21C. And so we met that weekend when you were there doing, and I know that they were blessed greatly by your presence with them and just that practical training. So can you share with us maybe just briefly about I was just captivated when I looked at your resources online with the acronym that you use, the FIRE acronym, because I thought it was so practical. So can you just run that down for us quickly and talk about how we could be thinking maybe even today, maybe somebody after they listen to this episode could figure out a way to start applying these ideas in their own lives?
You know, one of the big needs people have is, how do I initiate a gospel conversation? How do I get started? People really don't know. And again, as we stated earlier, it starts by praying for people. And so as you pray for people and their salvation, you just get to know people. And evangelism, most people think it's about talking. It's really not about talking. It's about listening. And so as I get to know someone, I've been praying for Tony. I'm going to be meeting him tomorrow at the coffee shop for a Bible study. He's not a believer yet. But when I first got to know him, I started asking questions about his family. And as you learn about someone's family, you're going to hear about their different needs. And you might hear about their needs of a wife being sick, or their child's out of work, or their child's on a basketball team. And as you hear about those needs, you pray for the family's needs. And it grows in that relationship. So you initiate the gospel conversation first with the F, family. Next is I, of interest. Then you hear about people's interests. If you learn about me, you're going to know I love basketball. My son's an assistant college basketball coach. I love my granddaughters. I love them as seeing their dance recitals. And you're going to hear my interests. And as you hear about other people's interests, and as you pray about their interests, you're just going to be naturally, God's going to give you a heart for those, your friends, for their interests, their activities with their children. And as you pray for that, it's going to lead to the next question. You only talk about family. You talk about I, interests. R is religious background. You ask people about their church background. But the key is listening. So if you ask someone, hey, do you attend church? What's your church background? And if someone would say, well, hey, I'm never going again. You don't go to E. The most natural, logical question is, oh, my goodness, what happened? And as you listen to people intently and you're engaged with people relationally and you pray about those needs, you're going to see a relationship develop. And eventually we ask the E question, which was taken from Evangelism Explosion years ago, and also a Way of the Master question is, if you were to stand before God and he would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Or the other question we often ask is, do you consider yourself a good person? And you go where the conversation goes. Sometimes people are going to want to talk right away, but others, they might say, you know, I don't even believe in heaven or hell. And the most logical question is, well, what do you believe and how did you come to this belief? The fire acrostic is a tool, a simple tool, to equip people to listen, to ask questions, and go where the conversation goes, and eventually you will bring up Jesus. But you could bring up, I've shared the gospel with people with a fire acrostic and have shared the whole gospel and seen people accept Christ in 30 minutes. With others, I just want to share a story. I've been praying for my sister, Kim, since I accepted Christ in 1977. And I've been praying for her salvation, I don't know, every other day for 47 years. And just last month, she texted me and just said, I just read your book. I'm broken in tears after reading chapter 15, Ken's story. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. What do I do now? I called my sister, led her to faith in Jesus. I've been discipling her. I just did a Bible study with her in my book last week. I prayed for my sister's salvation for 47 years. And she just came to faith and has a great change of heart. And it's all about relationships. You pray for people, you ask questions, you listen. And then how long do you pray? Well, you pray until that relationship's over. And for my sister, it's been 47 years. I'm praying for Tony right now. It's been a 2-year process. We're actually doing a Bible study tomorrow morning. He's not a believer yet, but we're going through a Bible study in one of my books because I can see he's interested. He's actually brought another person to the Bible study last week. I saw him yesterday. He's going to bring a new friend next week. This guy doesn't know Jesus yet, and he's bringing two other people to a Bible study because God's stirring in his heart. I've been praying for him, and we have a relationship. It's all about relationships. It's about your relationship with Jesus. And as you grow in love with Jesus and you pray for others, God's going to give you his heart for those people. And you just engage relationally and listen, and eventually you bring up Jesus when he gives you the opportunity. That's what we mean by going and telling.
Yeah, that is. So here's the thing. It's so simple, right?
Yes.
And yet it's so profound. And I think sometimes we complicate it. We forget that it begins with our own personal relationship with Jesus and the desire to see others the way he does, right?
Yes.
To have our heart broken for the people that don't know him, especially the people in our lives that we love and care for. And what an amazing encouragement to be intentional about praying for people by name with that intentionality to have the opportunity to personally share with them. And then, like you did, to act on that when the opportunity arises.
Well, just the need for prayer, it's simple, but the reality is the church in America today is not praying for the salvation of others. Lifeway did a study of Christians' prayer habits several years ago, and they found this. More Christians prayed to win the lottery than they prayed for their neighbor's salvation. literally, people are not praying for the salvation of the people God's placed in their life. They're not praying for others. The focus of their prayer life has been basically about them, their needs. But see, when God saved us, he made us to live for his glory. And as you grow in your love for Jesus Christ, you're going to want to live for him. He's going to give you a heart for people. And as you pray for others for their salvation, God's going to move you and then direct you to share the gospel. And if you're in love with Jesus, you'll talk about him. And I think one of the greatest needs evangelistically in the church is the church isn't in love with Jesus. We have to grow in love with Jesus. And as we grow in love with him, we're going to have a heart for his glory, for his work. And we'll be confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus.
Yes, amen. And really, what you just said is so profound, that this idea that, you know, if we love Jesus, we're gonna want to talk about him, and we're gonna want to make him known. And that's really, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, we can, especially North American Christians, we can get too caught up in the things of this world, the things that offer us comfort and maybe temporary joy in this world, and we forget about really our true calling, right? Which is to be in relationship with Christ, to live the redeemed life that he's offered us, and then offer that opportunity to others around us. So just a great, great reminder for me personally, and then I know for the people listening today. So one time I heard a pastor say something to this effect, or I think I read it, that there are only two eternal things on this earth, God's word and people. And that phrase has stuck in my mind. I think it actually was on one of those, you know, like those motivational calendars that you get, that there's like a new quote every day of the year. Right, yeah. I think that's where that quote was where I encountered that quote. But there's such a truth to that, you know, God's word is eternal and people have eternal souls. And, you know, I would love to hear your thoughts on anything else that we can do to just kind of shift our mindset to be aware of the fact that the, you know, people have an eternity facing them. It is either an eternity with us in heaven, or it is an eternity separated from God. And what are things that, you know, we as Christians can, I don't know, just really have on our minds or do or study, or I don't even know what I'm asking, but what can we do to maybe have more of an urgency? Obviously, praying is one of the first and most important things to do, but are there other things that we can do to have an urgency to be aware of that eternal future that people have?
Like you say, you have to pray, but you also have to read the scriptures daily. You have to pursue God in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And as you're in the Word of God, you're going to set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. You know, I was sharing a workshop in Detroit several years ago, and one lady got upset. You're talking about hell. You're trying to make us feel guilty. Jesus never mentioned it much. And I said, have you read the Gospel of Matthew? When you study the Gospel of Matthew, he starts his most famous sermon in Matthew 5 through Matthew 28. Every chapter except for one, Jesus talks about hell, damnation, judgment, fire to come. Every chapter except for one. And as we begin to pray for the lost by name, as we grow in our love with Jesus Christ, it will be an aspect. Most of the time, we're concerned about people's response to the gospel. That is not my concern. My concern is my response of sharing the gospel. I pastored in Florida back in the 90s, and I used to go to this greasy spoon to have breakfast before Sunday mornings. I would go there. I'd study my sermon notes from 6 to 7. I would have breakfast. At the end of that, I would go to the beach. It was in Jacksonville Beach, and I would go to the boardwalk, and I would watch the sunrise, and from 7 to 8 a.m., I would pray for the service and God's anointing as I would preach. One day, I'm there at the restaurant. It's a Sunday morning. I'm finishing up, getting ready to go to the beach to pray, and this homeless lady came in to eat, and I knew her. I actually coordinated a Jacksonville Beach community kitchen, and I knew her from the kitchen. She sat down a couple booths past me, and the Lord impressed upon me that I want you to buy her breakfast and visit with her. And I was kind of like, Lord, I know her. I'll be lucky if I sit with her. She doesn't spit on me. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And so I walked past her, paid my bill, and I started to drive to the beach to ask for God's blessing on the service. And I realized what I just did. I told God no. So I did a U-turn. I turned back to the restaurant. I got into the restaurant. When I was back in the restaurant, she had received her breakfast. She was eating. I sat across from her in her booth, and I just said, hey, ma'am, I'm Pastor Jim from Sunrise Church. I'd love to buy you breakfast and visit with you. She was eating, and all of a sudden she looked up and said, I don't want your company, and I don't want your handout. And she sat back down looking at her food eating, and I looked up, and I said, well, it's been good talking to you. Have a good breakfast. And I got in my car, and I'm driving to the beach, and I tell the all-knowing God, Lord, I told you she wasn't going to respond. And the Holy Spirit fell on me, and he said this, Jim, this was never about her response, but it was about yours. And I went to the beach, and I cried for an hour. You see, it's not an aspect that people respond to us. It's an aspect that we're obedient to the task God has given us to share the gospel for his glory, because people are lost and they're going to hell, and he sent his son, his only son, to die on the cross for their sins. God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I want to challenge people, we need to obey the commands of God to go and make disciples, to pray for the lost, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our relationships in word and deed, because it's never about their response. It's always about our response of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That is such a profound truth and such an encouraging truth. And I just appreciate your time today talking with us about not just your ministry, but how we as believers can really take the command to go in a very practical way, and how we can be looking around at the people around us, and just the fact that it really is not, it is not about their response, but it's about our response and our obedience to, as we are going, to share our faith in Christ, to engage with people, to develop relationships with people, to pray for them by name, and just to see what the Holy Spirit does with that relationship. So thank you so much, Jim, for your time today. I appreciate it more than you know. And I just will be praying for your ministry as you continue to, you know, help churches empower their congregants, the people in their churches, to be more equipped to go and tell. So can you share with us, before we wrap up, your website and how people can get in touch with you? If we can put some things in the show notes as well, but I'd love for you to just take a minute to talk about how someone can get in touch with you if they're listening and they want, I want that workshop.
Amen. Yeah, go to goandtellministries.org, goandtellministries.org, and it lists the different workshops we teach. We also have several, we have a video series after we teach the workshop called the Great Commission Study, made for application and accountability to share the gospel. We've had a great problem in the churches we've gone to. They've actually had a lot of salvations, and they've come to us and they said, what do we do now? How do we disciple the new believers? And I wrote two books last year called Disciples Making Disciples. It's a book full of stories and a Bible study to disciple another person, a new believer. We actually have a workshop based on that. And then also we're going to have a new 10-lesson study and PowerPoint, which will be free on our website, that churches will be able to use to equip their people to disciple another person. And I also wrote a book called A Disciple's Walk. It's a fictional story of someone praying for a friend, leading them to faith, discipling them, and the friend doing it to get a picture. So all of our resources are at goandtellministries.org. And I would love to come to your church and have you host a Go and Tell Ministry weekend by having teach a workshop and to preach, to motivate and inspire your church to delight in God, to declare the gospel, and disciple others.
Thank you, Jim. That's fantastic. So thanks again.
Thank you.
In my conversation with Jim today, we talked about getting resources into people's hands, resources that equip them to share the gospel with others. And that's something that we're passionate about at 21C International, is getting resources into the hands of pastors and church leaders around the world, especially those pastors and church leaders in the majority world, those areas where the gospel is growing exponentially, places like Africa, Asia, and Latin America. We've been stunned by the number of people who are joining our Timothy groups to study the Bible and so need the study material. We have 55,000 copies in print, most of which are in use, and local leaders are struggling to keep up with demand. In East Africa, groups are forming as quickly as we can provide the material. To be a part of getting our resources into the hands of more pastors and church leaders around the world, you can give on our website. Visit 21cinternational.org and click the Give tab today.